start off with the first pasuk in this parsha. Parsha where Etav Shinai and Gimel Re'ei Anokhi Noshim Zechal Yom Bracha will call a seed that I put in front of you today. Good things and bad things. Okay, the bracha is if you listen to Hashem. The kvala is if you don't listen to Hashem. That we understand. Now, we all know that Karb Mitzvos B'Hayal Malacha, there is no such thing as rewards in this world. That doesn't happen. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, any time you do a mitzvah, you are surrounded by a ruach of kedusha, a ruach of holiness. Something surrounds you in which that allows you to become more kadosh. Anytime you do a chait, even if you don't realize it, even if you don't think about it, you are surrounded by a ruach atuma, by a spirit of folly, something evil that surrounds you, in which you might not be able to see it because you have physical eyes, and physical eyes aren't able to see these things that are purely spiritual. But there are demons that are around you. Call them malachim ashes, call them demons, whatever you want, and they are there even though you think nothing is there whatsoever. When you die, after a person dies after 120, you immediately realize how much is around you and how much is surrounding you at all times. It's the first time and you feel terrorized by it. You're shocked by it, how much tuma you caused in this world with your sins and how much was around you at all times. That's the idea. Every single day, you are rewarded and cursed by your own deeds. So, if only you could see, says God, that I have put in front of you, literally in front of you, Hayom, today, while you're still alive, Bracha on Kol. I may not be able to reward you. I may not be able to give you exactly what you're looking for, the schar, the reward for what you're going to have. But there is an automatic ramification. There is a result of what you've done right around you. Bracha and Kol surround you, and that's what ends up happening. And that's the idea behind it.
But
that's
not realized. I mean, if it exists, but there's no way to realize it. Then
you don't realize it until after death.
Yeah, but so when you say it's like you need Bracha and Kol that surround you.
And that's it. No, it is really here, but you can't see it. So you won't know about it until after it happens. Listen, if you know after the fact that somebody says, hey, guess what, I did this and that for you, does that mean that it never happened? Of course it happened, you just never knew about it.
Right.
That's the idea by over here as well. It happens. You have this around you. You just have no idea that it happened.
Is that really a reward, or is that another kind of reward?
The reward is, if everybody's done Pirkei Avos before, for schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Schar avera is an avera. You have the ability to do more mitzvahs because you're more kadosh now. You have the ability to do more averos because you're more tamei now. That's the idea behind it. That rolls in. Listen, we're going to go straight into the animals because that's the way I roll. I think everybody understands that about me by right now. The Ishbitzer, the Me'ashi Law says, and I need help with this. I'm going to ask you for your own opinions on this. The best mitos to grab onto are emuna. Emuna is believing in a kadosh baruch hu. Bitachon, which means trusting that God is doing something for your best interests. That's emuna, bitachon, and then yishuv adas. Yishuv adas is calmness. You've got everything taken care of. You're not worried about what's going to be. Calmness, and you know everything's going to be there. Emuna, bitachon, yishuv adas. They're all related to one another. It's not that they're so different from one another. They're related. But he says that chewing your cud is a type of emuna and bitachon. I don't know what that means exactly. My guess is that what chewing the cud is that you eat what you want, and then you break it down yourself. That you always have food available for yourself. That it's always there. That you're always constantly chewing as if I always have food there. I think that's the idea. If anybody has another idea how chewing the cud has anything to do with the moon and bitachon, I'd like to hear it. But that's one. What do you got? You're chewing right now.
Something that's seemingly not nutritional whatsoever, like very big,
it's still going to work. Good. You're going to take out the good from the bad by chewing your cud. And that's really what it is. It's the cellulose that doesn't allow it to be digested well in the animal stomach that you need to break it down into smaller particles so that the cellulose is broken up, and then you're allowed to, and then the animal is allowed to eat it. Something like that. But it's a emuna and bitachon. Split hooves is yishuv adas. That gives you yishuv adas. Now, why that? My guess is on that one is that split hooves gives you more of a padding. We all know that mountain goats are the most sure-footed goats, except for that one Simpsons where he said, "I'm as sure-footed as a mountain goat," and the mountain goat fell off the mountain. Except for that one, right? Every other mountain goat happens to be the most sure-footed animal out there. They have yishuv adas in that they know that they're standing not just on one foot, but on 4 feet. They're always settled, and they know where they can be. I have a feeling that that's the pshat, even though that might not be. Again, these two things things I'm not positive. He doesn't explain it, but he just says it. He says, there are three people who misuse these midos, and they are represented by the three non-kosher animals that have that chew their cud, but do not have split hooves. Okay, and he says the following. He says, for example, a camel is a pazron. It gives of himself and gives anything that you want, it gives to you. A gamal literally means gemilas chasadim. It gives of itself over and over and over again, gives of itself, of its time and everything. However, when he gets food and drink, he eats and drinks a ton. A camel can drink 90 gallons of water all at once. That's the ability of a camel. So we see that the camel, although he has a good midah, but he doesn't have true emuna and bitachon, because he doesn't believe God can give him water in the middle of the desert. He doesn't believe God can give him food in the middle of the desert. So when he has an opportunity to eat or to drink, he stuffs himself. And that's a bad midah. That's a person who believes he's a pazron, he gives a lot of his time, but when he gets a chance, he takes and takes and takes. Guy number one, that's a camel. Number two, I don't quite get as well, the rabbit. The rabbit, he says, stands for chutzpah. Why is a rabbit chutzpah? I have no idea. His answer is that they flip-flop. I'm sorry?
You said it was
our neves. Our neves is chutzpah. Shafan, we're going to say, is that. Is the next thing. But
why?
Yeah, why?
The rabbits can't control themselves. And they do arias publicly.
That's a good call. Meaning the chutzpah of its arias, its ability to be together with its mate
but
at all times.
No shame, like not
that's very, very good. No, the Ishbitzer says that the rabbit changes its orientation. That can change from female to male. You should know that happens to be an Aristotelian theory about rabbits. It's a very strange theory, but it is brought down by the Ishbitzer. We don't see it in the rabbits today. Maybe there was. There are frogs that can do that. There are types of fish that can do that, but we don't know of any rabbits that can do it. What were you going to say, Ari? What did you say before?
On the same conscience of other animals do it, but kind of that.
Rabbits are prolific. They are definitely prolific, and they can have more babies than most other animals can. And aside from bugs, you know, they're like rats in that way. So rats would be the way, but they're the closest to it, I think. Yeah.
So like going to everyone's fields and stuff and eat everyone's food. Like,
yeah, they can definitely eat the stuff. That might be chutzpah also, meaning they're stealing from other people. What's the good thing about a rabbit? The good thing about a rabbit is that it always believes it can get away. It always has the ability to run away. But that in and of itself is, we know it runs away quickly when it's faced with any danger. It does not stand and fight. It's not willing to do anything. It just gets up and runs away. That's the idea behind the rabbit, which has chutzpah, but a selfish chutzpah. When it needs it, it'll take it. But when it sees that it's in danger, it immediately runs away. It doesn't stand up for whatever it is. It just runs away immediately. The hyrax, the shafan, stands for laziness. Now this is hard to understand because we don't even really know what a shafan is. It's possible it's the rock hyrax. It could be something else. But it stands for some type of laziness. I can't tell you why, but it must be that the shafan has some way that it does not move from where it is. It happens to be, if it is a rock hyrax, they stay where they are and they do not move. They stop where they are. They are self-assured that they're safe in their area, up on the rocks in the middle of nowhere, and they don't go anywhere. They seem to that. So it looks like he has bitachon, but it's really because he's too lazy to go anywhere else. Too. What are you going to say for it? Yeah. They just stay there. Right. They don't move whatsoever. In Getty, they're all over the place. I'm sorry? I would doubt it. You know, they're closely related to elephants. They don't look like, they look like little rats or big rats, but they're closely related to elephants. They're the closest living relative to the elephant, which is strange, but, you know, it seems stranger. Anyway, all these guys chew their cud, and what that means is they have a moon, they have a tuchum, but they're misusing it. They're using it in a different way, and that's what we're saying. It's not the same. They don't have yishuv adas. They don't believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is really going to take care of them. Now, the pig is the exact opposite. He has yishuv adas. He's a miser. He's yishuv adas. He's like, I'm fine. I don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. But he has no emuna. The Yaitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says that a pig cannot raise its neck to Shemayim. If you always look at a pig, the pig always has his head down. The head is always down, facing down, very, very heavy, because he cannot lift his head to ask God for anything. So although he has yishuv adas, and he's settled, I mean, he'll eat anything, he'll sit anywhere, he'll be anywhere, he's not really afraid of anything, the pig will just be as it is, but nonetheless, he has no emuna and bitachon. And that's a bad meat on that part.
No emuna and bitachon, or just no emuna?
It says no emuna and bitachon. That's what he said. It could be both, but it says no emuna and bitachon. That's Tom. That's so you know the four animals represent four different types of people. Now we're going to go on to tzedakah. I've got nine different dibur Torah on tzedakah. Each one of them is awesome. Each one of them is awesome. We're going to go through the psukim a little bit. When the psukim go through tzedakah, when they understand the wording that we understand through tzedakah, it's really a funny wording one after the other. It says, let me just find it over here. If you have a destitute person among your brothers, the akhatrak on one of your gates, the artzchah, in your land, that Hashem has given you. It's funny because it says in your land that God has given you, which seems to be only in Eretz Yisrael. But do we give tzedakah and chutz laretz? I mean, I hope everybody's going to say yes to that. It's funny that that wording is used there. That I don't have an answer for. There is a sifri on it. Lo sa'ameit es lebelcha. Do not harden your hearts. Lo sikbot es yodcha me'achicha avyon. Do not close up your hand from your destitute brother. Rather, keep a soft tiktak as yodcha lo. Rather, open up your hand to him. Ba'avei taviten lo loan him. Dei maksoro, whatever he is lacking, asher yakso lo. Yisham lecha, be very careful. Peni adoverim lebelcha b'liyal. Maybe there's going to be something evil in your heart. Lemor saying, maybe Shemitah is coming up. You're going to look evilly at your brother who is poor below. He won't give him anything. He'll call out about you to God. You'll have a sin. Give him surely. And do not have an evil heart when you give it to him. Because of this, God will bless you with everything you do and everything you have. Now we all know, we don't get rewarded in this world. But it's funny, we all know, what's the halakha by tzedakah? Aser to aser, give miser bishvil, so that shetis asher, so that you become rich. Well, why is that mutter? Why is it mutter for us to get a reward? And isn't that cheap? It's terrible. When we get a reward in this world, that takes away from our schar and olam haba. I don't want my reward in this world. I mean, come on, a dollar down here is nothing like a dollar in Shemaim. Why am I getting rewarded down here? I'd rather leave it up there.
Don't worry, we're going to show each other.
That's cute, as if, yes. So that's for sure true, but what do you mean by that? Meaning it seems aser, do miser, v'shil shetis asher, so that you become rich. That's the problem. Why did it say you become rich? So that you can have more money to do tzedakah. I don't know. B'shvil shetis asher, so that you can give more miser. It shouldn't be aser b'shil shetis asher. Aser b'shil shetis asher is what it should be, to do more miser. That's your answer. And it's a good answer, but it seems weird.
They certainly seem to be incentivized in this world because it's a societal thing. Like, if I didn't fight, stop it. Stop it, not just the mix itself, and on a global level.
I hear you. Even weirder that it calls it Eretz Yisrael, but I hear you. I definitely hear you. The Gros says that anytime the pasuk repeats itself, it means you got to do it over and over and over again, even 100 times. Give me an example. Beautiful. Okay, so here's Dami Secha, that if you have to give muster, can't give muster once, then twice. You got to give muster even 100 times. If you feel it's necessary, you got to give muster even 100 times. Okay, so here's Dami Secha. Another one that we know is Shalach to Shalach as a Ain. By Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, you got to send it away again and again and again and again. You can't just do it once or twice. You got to do it again and again as long as it comes by. But that's impossible by Aser to Aser. You can't give tzedakah over and over and over again. Why not? Because you have a limit. What's the limit by tzedakah? You cannot give more than 20%, one-fifth. You can't give more than a fifth. So it can't be that you're giving it over and over and over again because you're not allowed to. That's not allowed. So what's the top behind aser to aser? Says the Gra, it must be that if you're taking off miser now, you'll be able to do miser again later. Similarly to what you just said, Yeshaya. And if you take miser off later, you'll be able to do miser again later on. And then you'll be able to do it again and again and again. It's aser so that you become rich enough to be able to do it, and that's that. But my question still applies that I have been Yeshaya before. If that's Chad, then it should be aser bishvil shetisa ser, so that you can take off miser again. What's shetisa ser? Let's go on for a second. Says the girl, there is a guarantee that if you give 20% of your earnings every time, and guys, I don't know if everybody here gives miser 20%. I don't know. I don't give 20%. 20% is a huge amount of money. When you're paying for tuition and stuff like that, giving 20% of your earnings to miser, says the Gra, it's a guarantee you will not be damaged by anything. And he said if Klal Yisrael gave a fifth of their money, nobody would be poor anymore. there would be no poor people in all of Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. It's an unbelievable guarantee. Again, I wish that I had enough to be able to go ahead and do that, and just enough inner fortitude to be able to do that, but I just can't. I don't think that's there, and I'm not blaming my wife on this one. This is 100% me. This is not my wife on this one. She might be a part of it, but it's all me on this one. I will guarantee that. Here's another thing. We don't give all poor people equally. When a poor person was once rich, you owe him more. And I do mean to say you owe him more. The fact that you have money is not your money. God gave it to you in order to be able to give to other people. And that's there in order to be able to give it to other people. You can't just automatically keep it and keep it, take it for yourself. Plus it says, do not close your fists. Rather, open up your fist to give to him. When your fist is closed, all your fingers look like they're equal. They look like the same size. There's no difference between them. Open up your fingers, and what happens? Every single finger is different. And that's the way we have to treat poor people. Not everyone is the same. Some people are pinkies. Some people are four fingers. Definitely some people are middle fingers. There's no question about that. But you have to treat everybody in a different way. Open up your hand and see every single person that's out there and give him exactly what he needs. Here's another word. We all know the famous story with Rav Papa. Rav Papa is a Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Yud. Rav Papa was climbing a ladder and he almost fell off and fell to the ground. And he came down off the ladder and he said, Oy vey, what did I do to almost deserve skila? How could I have almost been stoned? Because falling off a ladder is like getting skila. It's like you fell off a cliff. How could that have happened to me? What did I do? And a rav went up to him, I forgot who it was, and said to Rav Papa, perhaps you didn't give tzedakah properly. Perhaps you didn't give tzedakah. The Gemara earlier, or Blatt earlier, says that Rav Papa one time did not give tzedakah to a person because he felt he didn't deserve it. Rav Papa didn't give tzedakah to somebody, and that was the reason why he fell off the ladder. Says the Gemara, where's the hint to that in the Torah? Where's the hint that falling off a ladder is your punishment for not giving tzedakah? Pasoach tiptach as yadcha is the trump of darga severe. Darga severe. Darga in Aramaic means step or a ladder. Severe in Aramaic means broken. A broken ladder. That's what's going to happen. The truck on Pasuah Tifa, you want to open up your hands, because if you don't, Darga severe. That the ladder will be broken. That's an unbelievable little hint. Also, there are 17 brachos you get by tzedakah. 6 brachos if you give money. 11 brachos if you help a person out by your words. 17 altogether is the gematria of Hazeh. That when it says that you should give the tzedakah, the wording that it says is, where's the wording? It says, the brachos that you get will be because of 17 brachos will come if you give tzedakah by money and talking to the person. But we still haven't answered our question. Let's add on another medrash. The medrash says, Aser b'shvil shetis asher, give money so that you become rich. Says the medrash Tanhuma, shelo yischasor, you will never be lacking in anything. Kasha on the Medrash Tanhuma is, obviously if you're rich, you're never going to be lacking in anything, right? And again, why is it so that you become rich? What's the pshat in getting rich? Says the Ksav Sofer. We've got a problem over here. You can't become rich from giving tzedakah. Guys, think of a Maimar Chazal. Something you've heard all the time. That money has nothing to do with what you do in this world. Where does that come? What's the Maimar Chazal for that? This is a hard one. I will give that to you. I'll start it off for you. Bnei or Bni Chayi Umizoni. Are Bni's children, the amount of children you have. Chayi, how long you're going to live. And Mizoni, the food that you eat. I'm sorry? That's true. But the whole point of the Gemara is I forgot what the wording is. It's not totally on your midos, on what you do. Ela Bimazola. Totally milsa. It all has to do with your mazel. If you're born under a certain mazel, you will be rich. Whether you deserve it or not, you will be rich. And if you're born under another mazel, I don't care how good you are, you will be poor. Many examples of this throughout the Gemara. But money does not come from the fact that you did something good. Money only comes to a person based on your mazel. So how could we promise you over here that you're going to become rich? You can't. It goes against the straight out Gemara that says that it's based on mazel. Says the Ksav Sofer. I'm sorry? Good call. That's one way of answering up the question. Says the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says, Ezehu Ashir. What is a rich person? Asameach Bechoko. Okay, somebody who's happy with his lot. He says a rich person is not someone who has a lot of money. You could have a ton of money, but if you always want more and you never think you have enough, he's not rich. That person is poor in his own head. Aser bishul shetis asher is that you give miser so that your actions prove that you are actually rich. You don't just get money. That's not the reward. It's that you become happy with what you have. You take off miser and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow your mindset to be, I'm good with what I have. It will be easier for you to be able to go through the rest of your life knowing that you got what you were supposed to get. That's the idea behind it. You could have a ton of money if you're mazel. You could have an absolute ton. You could have everything there. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean anything if you don't feel like you're actually rich. That's the idea. Now, that's that. There's another ksav sofer about that. Kar mitzvah mitzvah. We're going to skip that for right now. Someone who gives tzedakah in order to honor himself is not giving the poor man anything. Says the Chafetz Chaim, he's taking something for himself. So when it says titen lo, you got to give it to him. It's got to be that you're giving it to him with the right way. Not in public in front of a lot of people saying to everybody, hey, check it out, guys. I'm giving this guy money. Well, you're embarrassing the guy publicly. It should be done in private or in a way where the guy isn't embarrassed. Unfortunately, when a mishulach is coming around in your house, it's easy. You pull him into the house. And that's that. So he's not embarrassed by standing out in the street. But if a mishulach is in shul, it's very, very hard to give that to a person without embarrassing him. So appeasing him with words is definitely preferred in that type of a way if that's possible. It's an unbelievable understanding that we can now understand the first Mishnah in Shabbos. The Gemara says over there, the first Mishnah in Shabbos says that when an ani is standing outside a door and the rich man is standing inside a door and he's giving tzedakah or food to the ani, if the rich man holds on to the object, puts his hand outside of his house to the outside and gives it to the ani, gives it to the poor man, right, then the rich man is chayiv. The kasha is the following. We know that if you do a mitzvah at the same time when you're doing an avera, there's a possibility that you're not chayiv, you're potter. It's usher to do. Mitzvah of avera is definitely usher. But you may not be chayiv. That's machlokis rishonim. But how do they understand the first mission on Shabbos? First mission on Shabbos clearly says that if he does it, even though he's doing a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, there's no question, you're, a rich man gives to the poor man. It says in honey. It says in honey. We're talking about a rich man giving tzedakah to an honey on Shabbos. If he does it, he's chayiv. How in the world could we say mitzvah bava avera is potter? How could you have such a shita? How could it be possible? The answer is there's a chiluk. And the chiluk is that over here he did something wrong. This was not a full mitzvah. The full mitzvah of tzedakah is titein lo, to give to him when he's not going to be embarrassed. By reaching out your hand and giving to him while he's still outside is embarrassing him. And if it's embarrassing him, you're not doing the full mitzvah. If you're not doing the full mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that comes with the avera. It's just an avera, and then you're chayiv. That's the pshat. He should have pulled the ani in, let him eat inside, or give him something on the inside. And then, whatever he wants, whatever he does, he does. That's the ani's business. But the other way around, how could it be that you gave it to him in that way? You embarrassed the guy. That's the first permission. By the way, as a side note, in Tanya Ben Elgim on page 105, Rabbi Yechiel Michal's Lachov was by a wedding, and a Bachan went up to him and said to him, in the first Mishnah, the first person that's chayef is the ani. If an ani reaches inside, he's still standing outside, reaches inside, takes the money from the Baal Bayis and takes it out, then the ani is chayef. Said the Barchan, he was a jokester, said to Rabbi Yechiel Michal, said, what, the poor man doesn't have a hard enough life? But now he's got to be chayef also? He's more chayef than the Baal Bayis? Why is he chayef for this? What did he do wrong? How could that be? So Yechiel Michal turned to him and said, that's a solid question. I've never heard that question before. Why is the ani chayef first? He said, I can't answer you now. I have to think about it over Shabbos. So he waited until Shabbos, and on Shabbos at the Tish, he got up and he said, the question was asked in the Yeshiva Shomaila, and it was brought down into the Yeshiva Shomata, and the answer was, because the ani reached in and took it out of the Baal Abayis' hand. He did too much Yishtadlus. He should have waited for the Baal Abayis to give it to him. Because he did that, he's blamed and he's chayav first. That's a good little... That's a Malach Torah. Anyway, that's that. We're going to do one more thing over here. We know that the 248 limbs of the person corresponds to the 248 mitzvos that we're all chayav to do. Correct? So tzedakah represents a certain limb of a person's body. Meaning, if you don't give tzedakah, there is a limb of your body that is lacking. Something that is wrong with some limb of your body, there's something lacking. So asks the Chofetz Chaim, says, I don't understand. There are so many people in Shas who had no ability to give tzedakah. For example, Rabbi Elazar ben Pattas. He was so poor, God was going to turn around the whole world for him to make him be born under a mazel where he would possibly be rich. He was so poor, he had absolutely nothing. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa had no money at all. He had a calf of carobs every week. That's all he ate all week long. That's it. Rabbi Shimon ben Kalakta, Rabbi Yehuda, all over Shas, you have these Tanoim that were so poor they mamish could not afford anything. We all know the story of Hillel before he became Nasi. Hillel standing on top of the base medrash to listen. Were they not able to do the mitzvah of tzedakah? Simple answer. Simple answer. At one point in their lives, they were able to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. They perfected it at that time, and then from then on, they weren't able to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's the simple answer. But it could be that they were always poor. They were always poor. How could they have missed out on such a huge mitzvah? Says the Chofetz Chaim, not at all. I'm sorry? That's good. Mephayis for words. I didn't even think of that, but that could be a good answer. You could be mephayis them with words. It says,
otherwise,
that's good, but you're not mekayim the mitzvah that way. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. Others might be, but you're not.
That's
a good call. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, the Gemara says in Tanis and Daf Chav Dalet, was so poor. The Mamash had absolutely nothing. The Gemara says the whole world gets food in the schus of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. The whole world gets food in the schus of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Here's what the Chofetz Chaim says: Tzaddikim run the world and make the world go. They may not have the ability to give actual physical tzedakah, but they give the greatest tzedakah to the world by their learning, even in their dire conditions, and even when they're so poor, they're giving the entire world parnasa. And that schus that they have is their mitzvah of tzedakah that perfects that limb of their body. You know, mefarnes the entire world. They have the greatest mitzvah of tzedakah. And every generation has such a thing, such a person who has the ability to give that to the entire world. Who knows who that is? A Rebbe Yashiv, Rebbe David Chai Buchatzer, a Rebbe Vadi Yosef, a Rebbe Chaim Knievsky, whoever it is. Even though they don't have the ability because they don't make enough money to be able to give tzedakah, their ability is to keep the world running is tzedakah. And that's the concept behind it. Boy, that's the idea behind it. We're going to stop with that, guys. And our ideas of tzedakah, our summary, our reward is in this world. It's around us. You do kadosh things, you have kedusha surrounding you. You do tummy things, chas v'shalom, you have tumah surrounding you. Number two, there are four non-kosher animals. Each one represented a certain midah. We tried explaining what those midahs were. The best is emunah, bitachon, and yishav adas, all three. And our third thing was tzedakah. We had nine divrei Torah trying to explain basic. Why is it that you become rich? Why not that you get meiser? On the way, we also answered a Rapapa Gemara. We also answered the whole giving Gemara with the Balabais and Shabbos, Bezim and Aleph. And we went through the 248 limbs as well by great tzaddikim. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.